WPG. Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 27th and 28th. The new year month is, oh man, we're final turn. Last few days, still a lot of activity going on, but whoa, look at this. One day closer to the March 1st opening of the striper season in the backwaters. It's been kind of with this weather. We don't know, man. Freezing cold, 35 mile an hour winds, 20 foot seas, the whole bit. Things are calming down. Tog bite is still going on. That season's going to close pretty soon now, and it's going to reopen April 1st. It'll be out to four fish. But as promised last week, I had to touch on a little saltwater fishing. Going on. I got some ice fishing in last week, but I digress. As promised last week, return guest. He was on for a few minutes. George Poveromo, host of George Poveromo's World of Saltwater Fishing, is on the Discovery Channel Sundays at 8 a.m. New season kicks off. And it's for his first two quarters, 24th year. One of the top-rated shows going 24 years in the TV broadcast business. Like the computer stuff, that's fine. The real deal. George is also the contributing editor of Saltwater Sportsman magazine and the host of the wildly popular Saltwater Fishing Seminar Tour, now in its 33rd year. It's coming to Atlantic City. It's going to be here, man, next week already. George is on the line with us right now. We're going to go into this out for $65, people. You know, besides the goodies and everything like that and the chance to win stuff, the knowledge of the panelists. And this isn't like your seminar, somebody standing at a podium, people. This is as interactive as you can get. Some of the best Jersey anglers are on the roster. And here is the man himself, Georgie P. Good to have you. I got Rack and Fin again, man.
Well, good top of the morning, Ted. I have to tell you, per usual, that was one heck of an introduction, but you shortchanged me in one area. You know what that is?
You're younger than me.
Well, we all knew that, but okay. It was the 33rd, you said, seminar series. It's actually the 37th
seminar series. 37. You know what it is, George? I'm 138 years old. Give me a break. 37 years.
That, you were dead on. You were dead on after all that.
George, I'll tell you, your TV show just kicks ass, man. Anyway, George, back to now. Listeners, there was a gap, a three-year gap during COVID where the series was televised. George, go into that.
Yeah, we had just wrapped up the one tour when COVID just ramped up everybody, and it just got really nasty. So we decided, let's take a year off and not do the seminar. But one of the sponsors said, you can't. You got to keep the continuity going. This show has been going on for so long. Figure out a way to do it. So with some television connections I have and with Saltwater Sports and Magazine and their television connections, I said, let's put together a televised version. We'll film it and do 13 episodes like a regular TV show. And it'll be the seminar series. And that's what we did for 3 years. We did televised versions of the seminar series. And then Saltwater Sportsman flipped when they got the ratings back after the first year. We were 3.2 million households had watched the seminar series sponsors rate. So we did it the next year and we did it the year after that. And then we decided, you know, we missed the people. This is really a grassroots kind of a program, a tour. And we decided, let's go ahead and get all the rust off of us and take the mothballs out of our pockets and get back on the road.
Listen, trust me, that's all my decades in the business. George knows to freak out a sponsor. It has to be damn exceptional. And George, you guys, you hit it on the head. That three-year thing, man, people were talking that all over the place.
Well, you know, it's funny how when we switched to TV with Bonnier, that owns Saltwater Sports and Magazine, they were very big in the events. And when COVID hit, every one of their events were shut down. The only one that kept going like it didn't miss a beat was the seminar series.
Drew, I'll tell you, but again, because it gets results, and the thing, listeners, it's so friggin' educational, and I'll tell you, Drew, your lineup of panelists here, a lot of people are familiar with their work, with their fishing experience, plus you have some national panelists on there. It's a win-win all around.
Well, that's what makes the whole thing unique, is you have your hard-hitting regional names that know these waters inside and out, and we bring up a mix of what we call touring national faculty members that do sort of the same kind of fishing, but obviously from different areas, and their techniques will be different. But when we put that mix of people on the stage to cover a session, the audience gets to hear two or three or four different ways that our pros are catching fish. And plus, when you put two or three or four fishing people on stage at one time, that in itself is entertaining, worth the price of admission when the ego's getting away, you know?
I'll tell you, and it's not the one-upmanship is not really the right phrase, but the sharing the knowledge. Yeah, they want to one-up each other. And, George, it's like an artesian well that exploded when it comes to information.
It is, and at times I always wanted to wear a striped white and black shirt, the referee shirt, because sometimes I got to keep them all in line, especially up in Jersey.
Well, it's going to be at the Resorts Grand Ballroom. It's going to be February 3rd. Here's a lineup here from Jersey. Matt Upton from Ross Fishing Forecasting Analysis. We got Nikki Honoshevsky, Saltwater Underground TV. We have Captain Kyle Jasinski. I know this guy. I know most of him. A deep drop specialist. Golden Tiles especially, and also Monster Bacala. You have Captain Mikey Villanova, No Limits Sport Fishing out of Weirdtown. Captain Tommy Fry, Tuna and Marlin and Swordfish expert. This guy is really second to none. Sloan Endick, Jetty and Surface, Fluke Tog and Stripers. Georgia, she also is making some marks in the offshore game with the tuna.
Well, she's very good, and she gets around. She fishes these boats, but her true specialty, when I was talking with her, is she loves fishing the jetties and the surf and all that. So that's her true strength. But she's just as great out there on those boats, mixing it all up and doing a good job. And so when I learned about her and spoke to her, I said, "Hey, here's our gem. She's going to really be a big asset to this stop."
She is. We have Captain Al Cordelli, Bayhound. He's a South Jersey light tackle specialist, inshore and offshore as well. Captain Steve Perule, Real Fantasy Charters. He's out of Barnica Light. And Captain Tommy Daffin out of Hutch's Marina down there in Cape May. Fishing Fever. Offshore, he has some records on it. Drew, you got the who's who here, little brother.
Well, we go to Jersey, that's what we like to do, and then we bring up some of the who's who, the touring national faculties, who put together a really very intriguing show. And like I said, Jersey, of all the eight stops that we do each year, I personally love getting to Jersey. It's the most lively, for lack of a better word, crazy crowds you get. It just... I get entertained just as much as they get entertained. I'll put it to that way.
On the lines right now is George Poveroma, host of George Poveroma's World of Saltwater Fishing, and its 24th season kicking off. It's on the Discovery Channel Sundays at 8 a.m. and some other venues as well. George will add a little bit to that later. He's also contributing editor of Saltwater Sportsman Magazine. Topic is the February 3rd Saltwater Sportsman Seminar coming to Resorts, the Grand Ballroom. Tickets are selling fast. Now, George, have you ever raised the price of the ticket?
Yeah, have we ever? We did this go around. We were always $55, and then we did 3 years of televised. So we decided Saltwater wanted to jack it up. They wanted $100. They wanted $75. And I said, no, man. The one thing about the seminar is always within reach. I said, we settled on $65. We went up $10 just to cover all the airfares and all the everything that got all jacked up. And so we kept it down real at $65. So,
George, listen, for the $65, you're going to walk away with over $200 in product. This is before the door prize mania, as I call it. George, go with that. You have including 5 hours of fishing instruction. You get a one-year subscription or extension, Saltwater Sports and Magazine, a $10 Bass Pro Shops discount card on purchase over $75. You get a course textbook. George, that has
brand
to be
new, that's 2024. Brand new.
Putting that together, Povero, putting that together, what was involved? Oh, man.
A lot of headaches and a lot of sleepless nights.
Isn't that the truth?
And a lot of Starbucks.
Yeah. And now listen, you have Starbright Extreme Cleaner, a lot of stuff going on. You can go to the website and find out. But you also have a chance to win a Florida Keys fishing trip and a chance to win a Mako Pro 17 skiff. And just so you know, Jersey, George, don't we have a little bit of a monopoly on winning the boat there?
Let me tell you, the Jersey people get me in freaking trouble because they won that boat more than anybody from any other site. And I actually got accused of throwing it from the Jersey people. People would write letters and saying, you're only giving it to your friends up in Jersey because you're from Jersey. And I could explain to them, I'm from Miami. I'm not from Jersey.
It's the vowel at the end of the name, Poveromo.
That's it. They think I'm Jersey just because I have the Italian last name.
George, putting this together on a really serious note, listeners, it's just an exceptional amount. Your head's going to explode, really. And those have been there. I know a lot of people, George, whenever it's here, they go there. When you had it at the Lynwood Country Club, I mean, they were there. Putting it together, the topics, George, how do you winnow that out? I mean, you brainstorm. What's the deal? How long does that take?
Well, you figure out what's really hot. What are some of the different techniques? You talk to a lot of the guys that you could bring on, and then you do a lot of this. And so you understand what's more the cutting edge or what is in vogue and what people really want to know, the hot buttons. And So we design the courses for that, and then we pick out who we think will be the strong faculty members that could represent those courses. And then we go ahead and make that final cut, and then we'll start off with a list of probably 30 faculty members potential for each seminar. Mm. And once the courses are designed, then we narrow it down and wind up going we'll cut it down to 10 or 11 or 12 from that group. So it's a big process where we analyze a whole bunch and then figure out which ones will be the best suited for, the task at hand for that year.
Now, listen, it's the 37th annual. I stand corrected. That's where George pointed out. I lost the 3 years. I got to tell you, I didn't even know why I woke up this morning. Anyway, or how I woke up this morning. But anyway, George, it's a seamless operation. I was involved with this years ago when we had some sponsors some clients that were sponsors of the seminar series. George, it's and a little hiccup here and there that was rectified when, I don't know, George, again, especially in Jersey, you must have friends because it was at lightning speed. Problem smoothed out, everything was going, and George, it just went like glass, man.
It is. I tell people the 8-stop tour, because we do 8 stops between, January and we wrap it up the beginning of March. I said, it's like a roller coaster, a big roller coaster. You buckle up and you get in this thing and then you take off. And no matter how scared you get and how big loops those roller coasters goes on, you could scream as much as you want, but you're not getting off, that ride's over. And that's March 2nd, the end of the seminar tour. So we're in that roller coaster hanging on for dear life right now.
And listeners, and something like this, I was involved with it and other things. I guess where you wonder, it's like a vehicle. You have so many moving parts. How does Joy, you expect something to go wrong. And Poveromo, you nailed it where it's been not without angst, I'm sure, but the whole thing, when people leave, man, that was a great seminar. That was everyone I spoke to, George, and it shows dozens upon dozens of people just love it, man. The knowledge obtained is without peer.
There's no doubt about it. And like I said, we talk to seminars and the best endorsement to the seminars and how good they are is the fact that it's been around for 37 years. You can't do that with a subpar show.
George, go into it. When's it open? When's it closed? You have an intermission. Tell us about some of these door prizes, little brother.
The door prizes are on a record for the seminar this year. We have to work unbelievably hard to get rid of all the door prizes. That's how many door prizes. So if you don't win a door prize at this seminar, your feelings should be hurt. But anyway, the doors open at 8 in the morning. Seminar begins at 9 a.m. There's a one-hour break at noon. And then we run until 3. And the final session ends at 3. That's at Resorts in the Grand Ballroom. Then from 4 o'clock to 7 at the Bass Pro Shops in Atlantic City, there's an after-seminar series party that Bass Pro throws. They set off a certain section of the store for seminar attendees. You come in with your badge. You're allowed to bring in a guest of your choice. And it's an opportunity for the audience to intermingle with our faculty on a more social level. And we hang out, Bass Pro puts finger foods out, and it's really a nice, relaxing deal. to end the seminar. We're all over there. We could talk with the people. No one's throwing Coke bottles and stuff at us on stage. It's a more docile event.
George mentioned finger food. Here's the deal. Last time I was there, somebody said, hey, Pags is here. Hide the crumb buns. In the morning, they have the green room with the coffee and the donuts and the bagels. Hide the crumb buns. He's in the house. Well, George, on a really serious note here, it amazes me, and I know a lot of people in this industry, I don't want to get into this too much. You never seem to tire with talking to your fans, clients, whatever you want to call them, admirers. And you keep it going, man. How do you do it?
It's the love of mine. This is what I do. This is what I love. This is my passion. And so you work, and there's a lot of, just endless times and days, the whole bit. But it at the end, you love it. And I love the people involved and love talking to them. And the people that ask me questions, in essence, they're my customers. They're the ones that read my articles in Saltwater. They're the ones who watch my TV shows, buy my sponsor's product. They're the ones that come to the seminars. Those are, in essence, my customers. And if you have a business, you take good care of your customers if you want to have a good business.
Plan for success, people. Listen to it right there in a nutshell. George Pogrom. George, before I let you go, go into the new series. What do you have? Give us some heads up on some of the shows coming up. Go!
Yeah, this is year 24 for George Pogrom's World of Saltwater Fishing on Discovery, 8 o'clock Sunday mornings, and a lot of good shows coming up on there. We even had one that aired last week that you could catch on YouTube. We did something really crazy. We had gone ice fishing in Minnesota, which we never had done before. And for a southern...
Whoa. You did what?
Yeah, and I guess I must have lost a bet somewhere along the line. But anyway, Harry Vernon and I had gone with Dan Quinn from Rampla to Mille Lac Lake on Minnesota.
I know where that is. Yeah.
And they brought us out on a lake and put us in these fish shacks. Now, of course, we fished up north in the snow, Jersey, Connecticut, doing shows, so that's no big deal. But for a native South Floridian to see something like that and experience, it was like I was in an episode of the Twilight Zone. They're driving us out in this lake with a truck. Yeah. I'm worried about the lake collapsing and we're going to drown. And they put us in these fish shacks. You walk in there, and there's manhole covers that you take off, and you drop the little bait down these little holes, and you're catching these fish, and you're living out on that friggin' frozen lake. And it was a wild, wild experience. And I will tell you, the people there are not like Jersey. New Jersey has a sense of humor. I guess maybe because they're all snowed in up there, they don't have a sense of humor.
This is
for
true.
The show, we brought a mounted mahi. And Harry Vernon and I pretended we caught this mahi right out of the ice for the show. So we walked it back to the lunchroom, and we walked in and asked, hey, anybody got a weigh scale? We got a mahi. They thought we were stupid. They had no sense of humor.
when you're locked in like that. But I've been in some of the shacks out there and also out of high. They're nicer than some apartments I had. Holy God.
I thought it was a Winnebago. It was so nice.
Yeah, we got out earlier this week, little hole in the ice up there in Lake Apac. I had to get my ice fishing fix in. But, George, again, we're way long on this. George, listen, the seminar series next week. Go to nationalseminarseries.com. You can get tickets there, or you can call 954-755-6898 to get tickets, everything. George, before I let you go now, on your series going, anything in Jersey? I know every once in a while you do have a show on the Jersey scene.
We did a show with Tom Daffin that ran last season. And we were trying to get together, and we had a weather issue and to try to get up to do a backcountry striped bass. We ended up pushing that off until next season. But I try to get to Jersey at least every other year because, it's just great. Jersey is a fun place to be in. It's a good crowd for us. And so we always try to make sure that we represent Jersey. So we'll definitely be back in Jersey next season with a show and make it all work.
This is George Pogrom's World of Saltwater Fishing in its 24th year. The Saltwater Series seminar coming next week to Resorts at Grand Bourne. George, give that website and phone number one more time, please.
Yep, nationalseminarseries.com. Again, nationalseminarseries.com. They could see the tour. They'll see the faculty members. They'll see what it's all about. They could get their tickets online there. And like I said, we're heading to the Keys. We have our alma mater show this Saturday. And then here we come, packing it up and heading up to Jersey.
George, we'll see you next week, man. Be safe. Best to everyone.
And appreciate it always, Tom. Thank you.
Take care. Just a great guy. Just a great guy. Way long on it. Segment up against the break. Sorry to Chris Coleman. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And the WPG Talk Radio app. Securing America.
Officials from the United States and Iraq will soon begin talks concerning continued American military presence in Iraq. During a briefing Thursday, Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh listed the key issues the talks will focus on.
The threat from ISIS, operational and environmental requirements, and the Iraqi security forces' capability levels.
Singh says making sure that the ISIS terrorist group cannot regenerate as a more forceful threat is paramount to deciding how the American-Iraqi coalition moves forward.
We want to make sure that the threat that we saw 10 years ago is not the same threat that we face today.
And Singh added that the meetings are not about the withdrawal of American personnel who are in Iraq at that government's invitation.
This is about the future and making sure that Iraq is set up for success in defending its own national security and sovereignty, and how the U.S. can support Iraq in doing that.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
That was George Poveromo. Big, big, big dealio coming up next week, next Saturday. Try to get there. It's an amazing show. I'm just like I said, an artesian well of knowledge is blowing out at you. And like I said, 32 more days of the reopening of the Back Bay Striper season. With the weather freezing, warm. We're supposed to get another cold front coming in. Those, but the bass are there. Now we're looking at, for this year, the 14.5% reduction, what have you, what's going on. So they just wrapped up the striper hearings with the ASMFC, the Striped Bass Management Board, what have you. And it looks like at that 14.5% reduction, it looks like it's going to stay the same. One fish, 28 to 31 inches. They had some options, 30 to 33 inches, or, you know, split between four higher boats and just recreational anglers. Well, it looks like it's going to stay the same. Check out Jim Hutchinson Jr., his video, fishermanmagazine.com, really goes into it in depth. And this is what it's going to be. Also, with a fluke, though, man, we're looking at something here. What, a 28% flatty reduction? Could have been worse, as Hutch reminded us all last week. Could have been worse. But that 17.5 to 18 inch, that little half inch, could make a difference of 30 to 40 days to the season. We'll get into that a little later on as it gets closer to springtime. But a little later on in the program, too. But interesting, I called on a good friend of Rack and Fin Radio for going on 21 years. Fairly frequent guest when he's not either on the water or in the shop, or, as I understand, Monday he's going to be on a plane to Guatemala. Captain Dave the Rave Show, Lady One Natalie Terrace in Absecon, the Absecon Bay Sportsman Center, probably the longest bait and tackle shop and marina along the South Jersey Shore. We're going on, I think, 35 or 36 years. Dave has seen the highs, the lows, the Acmes, the Naders. Want to get a little technical speaking there, and especially with the bass and the flounder. And it's that time of year where you start to think, okay, what's going to be happening? We know this, we know that. Sea bass is going to stay the same, another 10% reduction in porgies wide. Porgies are eating the paint off the bottom of the boats. We know all that. But I want to say, Dave, what do you think? This striper stuff there, now when you were opening the shop, trying to get a bass was nigh impossible, Captain Dave. Is that true? How you doing, man?
good morning. Great to be this weather in the middle of January, and the perch fishermen already been banging on my door. Yeah. But yeah, one quick shout out to George Poveromo. He does a great show, and I will be in Guatemala then. I won't be able to see it, but I've been been lucky enough, blessed enough, or whatever. I've been on two of his different shows in Atlantic City. I've been up on stage
on the
with
panel,
him.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing. It makes him local knowledge and national famous guys like you, our buddy Nick Honachevsky is going to be running with him.
Nicky boy.
But yeah, let's get back to the Stripers anyway.
Dave, yeah, to the best. Now, I remember, listen, my first experience with South Jersey Stripers, and what's all the hubbub about? Never forget, it was in August, early September. Dave, 89, just started the employer would advertise, or April maybe, I forget what time, whatever, it was springtime, it was warm. Dead low tide, down there by the Deauville Inn, right there. And I'm casting around, a new Garcia series of rods came out, they shipped us a load of stuff, the new Gold Max rods, 900 series, 800, what have you. I grabbed one of the ultralight spinners, Cardinal reel, spooled it up with some Gladiator line or ultra-class, whatever it was. And we go down, me and a shout out to Steve Branco, art director. We're down here, and it had to be like September, August, September. Little snapper blues were all over the place. And it's chasing the spearing or glass minnows, whatever the hell they're. I'm casting out a little 8-ounce Hopkins. Boom! Drag up a striper, probably 24, 25 inches. They have a little gold udu and a whole bit. People come running over. Oh, my God, he caught a bass. He caught a... Well, I was used to calling them stripers, being a transplant from North Jersey, correct? Yeah. So, and I said, what's the big to do? I had no idea there was a moratorium on them at the time. What was the big thing with stripers? So you've seen it where it's been that low, and you've seen it like the past few years where it's been off the charts. What do you think of these new, the continuation of the same draconian regs, Cap?
Well, I want to preface it by one thing. I think all fishing should be for reasonable limits, reasonable sizes. And for striped bass, I think it's reasonable. No one needs to take home more than one decent sized striped bass a day.
Fair enough.
That's reasonable. But now when they tell me, I've listened to a lot of political stuff on all, and I keep hearing this phrase gaslighting. And what the hell is that about? And then I finally figured it out, because I have there's people all over the map, little pockets. They have their own ideas, but they will sit here, talk to me to the face. They will get on Facebook and almost threaten me that these stripers are going extinct. They are worse than they were in like 1989 that you said. And by the way, I've been here 30, it will be 39 years.
39,
this year,
what? So. Well, I'm off on my years between Poverome and Big Dave. I'm going to get my ass kicked.
No, seriously, it's a long time. I've seen no stripers. But when I started fishing on my own in the saltwater. Well, 12 years old, my dad, we had a 14-foot aluminum boat and had a pair of oars in it, but I had a 5.5 on the back. And my dad had made sure I knew how to use the oars, and he let me go out in the bay. Since 12 years old, I was catching fish up until they released the moratorium. And I'm going to give you a job of getting the actual dates of when this moratorium was, because the internet wasn't existing back then, and I can't find any paperwork on exactly what went down there.
Tom Fody, shout out to Tommy Fody up there in Tom's River. He clarified that there wasn't actually a moratorium. It was some sort of conglomeration, amalgam, whatever, where it was illegal to fish for striped bass. Whether it was formalized, he maintained, I'll try to get him on that. No, Tom's in Hawaii, I think. But yeah, there was nothing really, from what I understand, totally formalized, as in written down, stamped, approved, whatever. But yeah, there was an informal, if you want to use that term, informal moratorium.
Well, there were certain years in New Jersey that you couldn't fish for striped bass.
Right,
you couldn't keep them. But back then... Yeah, and I do remember perfectly well that when I bought the marina here, it was 10 fish at 18 inches. Yeah, and there were fish existing. That was in that time period is when Al McReynolds broke the world record right. off Atlantic City in September. Remember, this was September during the mullet run, and there is a run of big fish then, but you know, that's not when anybody sees a fish now. And there was a few, you know, my brother was working on the beach with them. They'd be on the jetties when the mullet were running and catch a few. But other than that, I used to, you know, when I was used to be snow goose hunting, I'd be sitting on the marshes waiting for the geese to fly. I have my marine radio on, listen to, you know, and we're going into late November, listen to people, boats all over the ocean.
Right.
As far as I had range, they're going all the way out. Nobody accidentally caught stripers. They're fishing all the 10-mile zones where you ain't allowed to now. There was no stripers out there, none. Back in the springtime, I'm in here, everybody's going out chasing bluefish, out to the ridges, out all over the place, dragging those long coochie things, whatever they were for bluefish back then. I sold thousands of them. I can't even remember what they're called.
Was that the hoochie troll and the ponytails, all that stuff?
Yeah, ponytail. That was the big thing. And that looks, yeah, that's basically the same lure they're trolling for stripers now. You know, big 6-ounce ponytail and no stripers. None. No, not by accident. Today, if you go out there, you can catch them today. It's, you know, in the middle of January. I guarantee if you've been out in about 10 miles, you know, a couple of those lumps and a couple of those, you know, wreck areas, there's stripers hanging there. But
oh, sure.
Besides the point, they were gaslighting me. They were telling me there's no stripers exist. And I look, you know, I love stripers. It's my one fish. I know everybody flounders so great. You know, tog, you know, you pull them off the bottom. You know, they la-di-da-di-da. Stripers, you can catch every way you want to fish. And you can catch them any, right now, you can catch anywhere in the whole East Coast. But they want to tell me that they don't exist. Well, that's wrong. And, you know, I did put an idea up on Facebook. And if you want to go back.
Very, very well written, Cap. Very well written.
We got a lot of things to go over in a couple of minutes here, but just look for Absecon Bay. You know, search Absecon Bay on Facebook, go and run down the page. Look for the striper articles within a week or so. But no, seriously, the stripers are here. I believe we should have something reasonable. You know, I don't think we should keep the biggest ones. And then there's one more thing that I've heard from a lot of different biologists, idea that the very biggest cows, you know, those 50 pounders, you know, once they get over like 45 inches, you know, they're just old fat ladies that are sitting around eating at the buffet table, you know, like the ones you used to see at Golden Corral when it was still open down here.
I've seen those. I was accused of being one of those, Dave. In fact, I think you did it. Well, Dave, we have Captain Dave the Rave Show of Seeking Bay Sports Center. We're talking stripers, new regs, and the highs, lows, whatever. So, plenty of stripers out there. Are these regs warranted? The gaslighting, the whole thing. Dave, we're up against a heartbreak hanging. People, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back with Captain Dave talking bass. And if we can squeeze it in, now, Captain Dave, your opinion on these upcoming proposed two options for the striper rigs. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Fox News, I'm Chris DeMeo. The FAA gives a green light to using Boeing 737 MAX jets, saying they're clear to return to the air.
United Airlines said they are planning to start returning the MAX 9 this weekend. Alaska and United are the only two American carriers that use the MAX 9.
Fox Business's Kelly Saberi. A man is charged with stalking pop star Taylor Swift again in New York.
David Crow was arraigned a Thursday on a charge of second-degree criminal contempt after a judge ordered him to stay away from the star's Tribeca townhouse. NYPD first picked up Crow Saturday, then again on Monday for acting erratically outside Swift's home.
Fox 5 New York's Jessica Formoso. The White House okaying a $23 billion sale of F-16 fighter jets to Turkey. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Low clouds and fog overnight will reach an overnight low of 41. Areas of fog for your Saturday morning. Otherwise, a thick cloud cover. Saturday's high 54. Saturday night, cloudy, becoming rainy with a low of 41. Rain Sunday, a breezy afternoon. Sunday will reach a high of 47. Monday, breezy in the morning with snow and rain early. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, the high 45. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. End of January already. Captain Dave Scholl of Seeking Bay Sports Center, 81 Natalie Terrace, is on the phone here, and we're talking bass. Now, Dave, I want to ask you, as, 39 years, I stand corrected, get my ass kicked again. Business owner, stripers, and a summer flounder, a.k.a. the fluke, vital, vital, vital. This is the lifeblood of, especially on the South Jersey, the whole Jersey coast, I guess, the bait and tackle shop business, the distributor business, all the ancillary businesses. It seems like there's a strangulation mode going on, Dave, to like eventually make everything go away. What do you think?
You gotta believe it. There's just no reason. It doesn't make any sense to me. I almost don't like to think about it because I don't like to talk about it. But yeah, the business runs here in a cycle. I guess we're going to get right to flounder. But the stripers, yeah, they're very important here. Seems like they've been getting more important because there's more of them. Yeah, this is
good point. Good point, Cap.
Yeah, this is one of the things that I don't think the PhDs put together. That they we catch more fish than their supposed numbers that are out there. You know, they come up with a number that's completely arbitrary, and if we cross that number, you know, then we're wrong. But what? The only reason we catch more fish is because there's more fish in the water to catch.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, if there's no fish, people just won't go. We're catching flounder, catching stripers. Now, how many? I remember when they first opened up again, and it took a few years even for people to really get back into the striper fishing mode. Well, you get these guys fishing for a 50 pounder out offshore, the whole coast, it's been saved by this population coming out of the Hudson River. That's unbelievable. But the Hudson River fish have been filling every river going north through New England and south through North Jersey. And they're all mixing up down here. You listen to you know his name, the hot shot striper biologist in New Jersey that retired a couple years ago. I was listening to him talk one time, and they're talking about these rivers. The local rivers are too acid to produce good striper populations. But you'll get a few of them. There'll be a spawn and run will go in. These fish aren't salmon. They go wherever they find fresh water. They don't right. take a pH test when they go in. but when they get, these fish that are supposedly residents, they are. But like I always say, I haven't caught one of them yet that's been carrying a green card when they come up. So I don't know where they came from. Well,
they're supposedly the Hudson to study now. The year class took a big crash or the whole bit. An arbitrary rebuild date, 2029. As if it's just, it just sometimes gets so mind-boggling to follow. And shout out to the biologist. Shout out to Hutch, the best fishing newsman in the biz, keeping track of these things. But, Dave, to a person, the past, I guess, 3-4 years, guys have said, and guys our age, Dave, and a few years younger, never seen striper fishing like this. It's just been absolutely phenomenal. Now the thing, release mortality raises its ugly head, and that's where all the bad stuff comes in.
Yeah, but what is the mortality rate of?
It's a guess.
It's more than a guess, and I get people that talk about seeing floaters, and I'm sure there's a few. But you know what? We're in an age when everybody's got a phone in their pocket with a camera better than anything there was. Better than any camera, $1,000 camera in 1979. And I don't, even though it would be a little ugly, but if people were worried so much about all these floaters, where are the pictures?
Yeah, that's true.
None.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's always, if they were there, somebody would be putting them up.
Oh, sure.
It's like whales. I'm not going to get into the whole debate of what killed the whales, but every time you get a whale, Jesus Christ, you think the whole population died. we fed a couple of great white sharks, and there's plenty of them around, but that's another story.
Listen, this is vintage show, man. I got the days going heading down to Guatemala. I got him fired up. Well, Cap, we only have a few minutes left in this segment. It's flying, Dave. We have to get your ass in this studio show. Well, don't forget, Dave, on the air here. Listen, we always do. It'll be our 21st annual opening week of Striper program. Your ass is in here. You can even bring Sugar. She'll guard the door.
Yeah, she gets excited, she gets barking, and you can't hear nothing over that mic.
I'm telling you, man, rumor has it, a FedEx or one of these delivery guys, again, in the Absecon area is missing. He was on Natalie Terrace area, Tremont somewhere, and fingers are pointing to that little sugar bomb there at Absecon Bay. But that's another story. Well, Cap, let's get to the fluke. Some of the proposals, and it's going to be at, I guess, the March meeting they're going to have there. It's going to be in Stafford on East Bay Avenue across from Scissor Sisters. It's going to be the third, it's a Tuesday or Thursday, whatever. We'll get into that next week. But 3 at 17.5 or 3 at 18 of proposals. And we're talking, if you go with the latter, 3 at 18, you're looking at probably 30 to 40 extra days in the season. It's coming across as a big cut. Could have been worse. Dave, from a business aspect and from a charter captain aspect, your take?
Unfortunately, there is no other take. Need more days, and the longer the day is the big thing. More days and earlier in the season, especially down here in South Jersey,
right?
Yes. But I know we got a lot of people up in North Jersey say, "Well, we don't get the flounders then." But if you've listened the last few years, the stripers that they're catching. That up in, up north, in the month of May, I certainly wouldn't be thinking about flounder up there, but you can come down.
Yep. Well, Dave, again, that's the thing. It's a north-south battle. Always seems to be. It's when I first started to go down to meet 89, 90. Wow, man, this is like it seemed Barnegat Inlet North, Barnegat Inlet South. That's the demarcation line.
Yeah, and, we got 3 zones in New Jersey for duck hunting. You can do something else, but that's another day.
Man, Dave, I say you cancel your trip to Guatemala. Get your ass in here next week.
No, seriously. Everybody's excited in the spring. In May, beginning of May, there's a lot of people a lot of anglers, a lot of wannabe anglers haven't realized that the striper fishing in the spring is as good or better than the fall, all over the state, but down here in South Jersey in particular.
Dave, we had some great times in the back there, man.
Oh, yeah. They come in and feeding, and, it's a secret. Unless you know Noel Feliciano.
Shout out Noel! One stopper, man.
He'll tell you, but those jetties in Atlantic City, when they're migrating up in May, they produce more 50-inch fish plus to catch and release in the last 3 years than I can believe. Well, I believe them. I see the pictures. I sell the baits because Noel's too expensive. Come get come to see me.
Well, I'm going to hear about this one. Oh, boy, my head's going to be triple banging on that. But, Dave, back to the fluke. Now, you have a thriving striper charter business, and you do get a lot of flounder customers. Do you think, well, would you rather see this 17.5 again, longer season, as opposed to the 3 at 18?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to fish. And another thing that this is fact, I don't know, you know, we're still fishing on a population of females when we're over 18 inches. That, I think, is pretty much proven science.
Yep.
But we're fishing on these females, but they do come out of the deep up into the bays to the warmer water to feed up after spawning or whatever they're doing. But they're here, and you know, May definitely is the best month for catching flounders over 18 inches in the back bays, and they're here, and people will bring home fish. When it comes down to later in the summer, you know, every quarter of an inch counts, because you know that, then we're fishing on these males that just are hanging out and feeding up. And you know what? The males eat baby flounders too.
Oh, sure.
I don't know how many times I pulled them up, yeah, and they're spitting out these finger, you know, these 2 or 3 inch long fingerlings are coming out of their throats.
I've seen that many a time, Dave. Now, and two, towards the end of the season, man, towards September, shout out to Captain Alcardelli and Bayhound so many decades ago, turned me on to this. And he was right. It always seems you get that first, into the second week of September, that first nor'easter always hits, and the flounder fishery shuts down pretty much. So earlier, yeah, for the southern tier county waters, absolutely works better.
Yeah, and people are willing, you know, as a business end, people are excited. They want to upgrade their tackle. They want, you know, pick up a new rod and reel, pick up a sheet of a dozen bucktails instead of picking up the one they need for the day. You know, pick up the rigs. They, you know, when they go for bait, they, you know, they fill the bucket. They're not going to take any chances of running out. You go at the end of the year, everybody's trying to go through their rusted, tangled rigs at the bottom of the boxes. And I can get a couple more days out of this one. And
he knows me too well, people.
No, it's a completely different mindset. Yep. And one week in May is probably worth the entire month of September to me when it comes to flounder fishing.
Yeah, Dave, well said. Listen, Captain Dave the Rave Show, will you and Judy travel safely? Enjoy your trip to Guatemala. You'll be back, what, a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'll be back by Valentine's Day. We got to sit Valentine's Day on the plane ride.
Now, you are open to it, and you have the bloodworms for that perch bite that's going to be exciting. Even though the cold snap coming in, listen, I'm telling you, if I could do it, you could do it. You find the holes where there's perch in there, and they are snapping. Maybe a little more like a snap, but they're gonna chew on those bloodworms, Captain. You will have those in stock.
I'm waiting for another load right now, but yeah, Mike, I got the best bloodworm guy in South Jersey. He's been working with me all through the winter for the last 2-3 years. I've stayed open all year, and I got some real good help. My counter guy and knowledgeable fisherman as it is, Bill, is in here. He'll be keeping when the weather's permitting. We're not going to try to keep things going if you got skim ice and everything's half, you know, and the weather ain't no good outside. But call before you come. If you want to go perch fishing, call 609-484-0409. And even though I'm down 2,000 miles south, I'll be posting up fishing reports and what's going on every day.
Show will come back looking like a golden warrior, people. He does it all the time. Well, Cap, best of Judy. Travel safely. See you in a few weeks, man.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see, and we'll get on that Jersey stripers.
Your ass is in here. Gotcha, man. Let's see you later, Dave. Be good.
Okay.
See ya. Dave tells it like that. 39 years. So you see the highs, you see the lows. Businesses especially are impacted by these regulations, and you have there's groups out there that want strictly catch and release on the stripers. Guides Association, again, you don't have to be a guide to belong, and their whole thing is catch and release. So it comes down to, really, we're all about the fish. The other side, we're all about the fish and the fishermen. The other one's all about the fish and the fish and the fishermen. Well, I digress. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio to wrap it up.
This is South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It's a new year. It's a new day. Save all month long at Matt Blatt Mitsubishi every day. So if you're currently stuck in a loan or lease, Matt Blatt Mitsubishi wants to get you released so you can celebrate this new year and get you into a brand new Mitsubishi Outlander or Eclipse Cross SUV, both with zero down and 0% APR financing for 60 months. Have a job clearing $450 per week at Matt Blatt Mitsubishi. You're virtually approved. And only Matt Blatt Mitsubishi has a 4-day love it or leave it return policy. So if you're worried that your credit will keep you from getting a new ride, Matt Blatt Mitsubishi wants to finance your future, not your past. Simply Matt Blatt Mitsubishi. Rate qualifications exist. Not all will qualify. $1,666 per thousand finance. Unapproved with tier 1 credit. Rebates and incentives to dealer. Go to MattBlattMitsubishi.com. 844-946-2315 for complete details. Plus tax, license, registration fees. Offers can't be combined. Expires 2/4/24. So come in today and get your deal your way. Located right in the heart of Glassboro for over 30 years.
With your choice of select sandwich, nugs, fries, and a drink, Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag is your go-to. Your nugget wingman. Your hot and crispy fry co-pilot.
Just like us. We're like the bag boys.
What?
Bag boys, bag boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we bring your food?
For a deal you can count on, bet on Biggie and choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Bag boys, bag boys.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes choice of JBC or crispy chicken sandwich with 4-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. Third-party delivery pricing may be higher.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not one based on Carol. She's more focused on hitting a high note than the car in front of her. Why pay a rate based on anyone else? Get one based on you with DriveWise from Allstate.
Not available in Alaska or California. Subject to terms and conditions. Rates are determined by several factors, which vary by state. In some states, participation in DriveWise allows Allstate to use your driving data for purposes of rating. While in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Generally, safer drivers will save with DriveWise. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there and enjoy weather, so what? Fish are wet anyway. Find them out in the fresh water with open water. There's some nice bass and pickerel out there and crappies. Find them. Find them, and they are going to bite. Same thing with the white perch. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. And don't forget, small game season still going on. Man, my squirrels and my bunnies. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. Oh, couple of days left in winter boats. Wow. See you next week.